Have You Had Enough? On page 29, the way you'll see that these lessons work is before the lesson, you'll see verses on the left here. You'll see questions. You'll do those throughout the week. And then when you get here on Sunday morning, we'll go through the lesson. I found these to be a tremendous blessing. I hope you're finding them to be the same for you. We're going through the life of Joseph. 17-year-old boy, given a vision from God. God had a plan for his life. The age of 17, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery. If that was me, I'd have been thinking, God, what about the plan? This doesn't seem like a good plan in slavery. Sold by his brothers. Lied about. Everything else under the sun that you would think could happened to the guy. Accused of immorality. And put into prison. God had a plan. And he one day would save the entire world from starvation. Because God had a plan and God was working his plan. In that pit, he might not have thought, man, this is great. God's got this plan. I love this plan. But God had a plan. And God has a plan for my life. God has a plan for your life. Sometimes things will go the way we want. Other times they won't. But God has a plan, and God is working his plan. If you pray in the morning and ask God to work his plan, he'll work his plan. If you don't, he'll work it too. It might be a little harder that way. God is working a plan. God has a wonderful plan for your life. It's not hard to know what it is. He gave it to us in writing, as Pastor says, in writing. What better way to get it than in writing? At work, they tell you something, they won't put it in writing. Why not? But if they put it in writing, you'll do it that way, and then they'll be sorry. God put it in writing. And if you do it his way, he won't be sorry. And you won't be sorry. God has a plan. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, as we look into your word now, we pray for our pastor as he's over at the Evans Chapel. We pray for that ministry. We pray that souls will be saved. Lord, we pray for a pastor for that church, that that church will be indigenous and on its own. We're thankful for our pastor and his vision of starting a new church along the water every 5 years. What a man of vision. Lord, we're thankful for this man. Lord, help us to support him. Help us to love him. Help us to pray for him. And now, Lord, to your word and to this lesson and the lessons going on in these two buildings. Lord, I pray for your teachers, your instructors. Lord, that they be filled with the Spirit, filled with your word. Lord, I pray for the folks, that your Holy Spirit would work into their hearts, that they would illuminate and give understanding. Lord, as we look at the life of Joseph, Lord, may we realize that you had a plan for Joseph's life, and that you also have a plan for our lives. Lord, it is our desire to live in your plan. Give us the guidance, the direction, the strength to do that. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we don't have a lot of time here, so we're going to incorporate the questions into the lesson as we go. That'll be a little different this time. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 49. No, Genesis 49, sorry. We were in Psalm so long, I can't get out of it. Genesis 49. Have you had enough? Have you had enough? Before Joseph revealed himself to his brethren, God was working particularly in the life of Judah. The Lord had something special for Judah. And he worked to bring him to a place of surrender. In Genesis chapter 44, we find that Judah was a broken man. God had brought him to the end of himself, and he had changed his heart. God had changed Judah's heart. From the day when Judah said, "Let's sell this little guy," we can get money for them. I almost think that Judah was probably trying to save his life. Trying to save his life, as Reuben had done, said, and then Reuben came back and the kid was gone. And I almost think that Judah had the same thing in mind. I don't want that boy to die down there. Let's sell him. But whatever his motive was, he was the guy we see in Scripture saying, let's sell him. Let's sell him. Sell him to the Ishmaelites. Joseph then went, and through a period of events, God put Joseph in charge right under Pharaoh, number two man in the world. Pharaoh had a dream. There's no one to give the interpretation. Joseph said that God gives the interpretations, and God gave the interpretation. And Pharaoh realized he needed Joseph to run what was going to happen. Because Joseph had said there was going to be seven plenteous years coming, and then there's going to be 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh, you need to get somebody to take charge of the food, or everybody's going to go hungry. Joseph was put in charge. Joseph, at the age of 17, of course, had the vision that God had a plan for his life. And that someday his brothers would bow to him. And they had said, we'll never bow to you. They bowed to him in our text three different times. Two times they came, they bowed to him as a king, as honor. The third time they bowed in humility. Bowed in humility. If you look at the Hebrew words, you see the first two times, they're simply bowing to him as a king, just as to honor a king. But the third time was different. The third time it says they fell. The first two times it says they bowed. We'll see that as we go through our lesson. God deals with individuals. I'm sorry. Front cover. When Joseph's brothers came to Egypt, they had no idea that the person in charge of everything was Joseph. He had not yet revealed himself to them. Joseph kept Simon with him and asked the brothers to go back to the land of Canaan and bring their youngest brother to Egypt. He had said, you guys are spies to spy out the nakedness of the land. You're here to see the destruction. And they said, no, we're not. We're 12 men. One brother is not, and one's at home. Joseph said, you're spies. You go bring that brother then, and I'll see if your story's true. Following along in your lesson, in Genesis chapter 43, Joseph prayed. Joseph prepared a feast, but had not yet revealed himself. God was still working, particularly in the heart of Judah. God dealt with him in such a way until he finally said, that's enough. Lord, I surrender. And then we read the story there in Genesis 44. I hope that as you did your questions this week, at the top of your questions, there's reading. I hope that you did that reading. We're not going to have time this morning to read Genesis 44, verses 1 through 18. We'll go through some of the verses, but I hope that you do that reading during the week. Judah had come to his wit's end. He said, God has found us out. God has found us out. He said, I've had enough. And he was willing to surrender his life to the Lord. God deals with individuals. God deals with individuals. In Genesis 49, turn with me to Genesis 49, verses 8, 9, and 10. Genesis 49, 8, 9, and 10. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be on the neck of thine enemy. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. The promise that would come, the promise of the Messiah, the promise of peace that was to come, was going to come through the tribe of Judah. God was working in Judah's heart. God was working in Judah's life to get him to a point where he was at one time able to go home and say, "Dad, Joseph's not going to be coming home. He got tore up by a lion," when Judah knew that was a lie. But God was going to work in his heart. And by the time we see that God is done with Judah, he's not willing to tell that lie the second time. He's willing to lay down his very life rather than take that hurt back to his father. God was dealing with all of Jacob's sons. But in a special way, he dealt with Judah, because God was going to do something out of the ordinary with him. Judah, we remember, we read in Micah, we read in Matthew, "Out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." God had a plan for Judah. God wasn't going to be able to do that, accomplish his plan, until Judah got the right heart, until Judah got things right. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5. We remember that he says, I wept because there was nobody that was worthy to open the book. Who opened the book? The lion of the tribe of Judah opened the book. That's who was worthy. That's who was worthy. That was the importance of working in Judah's life. God was preparing Judah. God was preparing all of those boys to build a great nation from them. But he had to do a work in their lives. Judah would form the tribe from which a promised Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come. When God was going to do a work, he begins that work by working in the heart of one human being. God works in the hearts and lives of individuals. God works in our hearts. God works in each one of our hearts to glorify his name. God's ways are not our ways. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 tells us that indeed God's ways are different than ours, and God's ways are higher than ours. We see also in the story of that God's ways are not our ways. Isaiah 55. Your question for Wednesday, God's ways are not our ways. That's Wednesday's question. God's ways are not our ways. Monday's question was, Judah would form the tribe from which a promised Savior would come. Monday's question. Wednesday's, again, God's ways are not our ways. There must be times when we know what God is going to do, but we marvel to see how he gets it done. Who would have ever thought that God could use Judah? Who would have ever thought God could use him? Who would ever think that God could use you to do something for him? Sometimes we feel that, Lord, how can you use us? Lord, we fail. We come up short. We've come up short many times, Lord. We've sinned many times. God can use those that recognize their sin, repent, and turn. God can use them. There may be times when you know that what God is going to do, but you marvel to see how it's done. Who would have ever thought that God could use Judah? Genesis 37, 26. Genesis 37, 26 and 27. And Judah said unto his brethren, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brethren were content. The brothers wanted him dead. Judah was able there to plead for his life. Tuesday's question is coming up now. Who would ever thought that God could use Judah? Okay, Tuesday's question. Who suggested that Joseph be sold into slavery? It was Judah, wasn't it? It was Judah. Right there in Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 38, who mistook his own daughter-in-law? Here's Judah, a guy that mistook his own daughter-in-law as a harlot and lay with her. How could God use this guy? What a rascal. What a sinner. And yet someday he'd come to a point where he'd confess his sin before a holy God, and God would forgive that sin, and God would use him in spite of his past. The Bible says that God requireth that which is past. Ecclesiastes 3:15. God requireth that which is past. Does that mean we have condemnation? There is therefore now, no, because Romans 8:5 says there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus. Is there condemnation? No, certainly not. But does God require that which is past? You better believe it. God requires that we deal with our sin. God requires that we deal with our sin. God requireth that which is past. Judah someday, for the sin he committed with a woman he thought was a harlot, God would require it, that he deal with it. But what's great about the Lord is when we realize our sin, when he reveals it to us, and we accept it as sin, and we confess it, the Lord forgives it. It's gone. Never to see it again. Not when we get to heaven. It's not going to be brought up. You did that on earth. You did that on earth. It's not going to be brought up. It's gone. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. God worked in his life and used his tribe to bring the Messiah. God had a plan for Judah. Some people think, how can God ever do anything with my life? God is able. In fact, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Above all that we ask or think. Sometimes we think, Lord, I'm just such a sinner. Lord, I can't even ask you for that. But God says, ask. Ask and it shall be given. Ask. The desires of our heart, he says. And that, of course, is a heart that's right with God. But the desires of our heart. He said, ask. God is able to use us. In spite of our past, God is able to use us. God desires to bring us to the place of surrender. In Genesis 44, we're not going to turn there this morning, but in Genesis 44, we see a couple things. In Genesis chapter 44, Judah is now a broken man. Thursday's question, in fact, let's go there. Thursday's question is verse 14. Go to Genesis 44. We have two questions coming out of here, so we need to be here. Genesis 44, verse 14, is Thursday's question. Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. They fell before him. This isn't like the first two times that they bowed before him as a king. This is different. This is with a heart that's different. This is different, and you can look at that. That's Thursday is that they had come. What did Judah and his brethren do, which indicated their brokenness, that they had indeed come with broken hearts. Thursday. Friday is verse 16, and Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out our iniquity. Iniquity from 25 years earlier. God found it out. And God let them know he knew. God let them know. God was working in their hearts. God was working in their lives. He was going to build of them a great nation, but he had to get their hearts right. They fall on their faces, completely broken men. Completely broken, completely submissive to the will of the Lord. The Lord is not going to force any of us, but he wants us to yield to himself. He wants us to say, that's enough, Lord. I'll do whatever it is you want me to do. God is always dealing with us and speaking to us to bring us to a place of surrender. Our lives affect others. Who was it said? No man is an island. No man liveth, or the Bible says, no man liveth or dieth unto himself. All of us affect others. We learn also in the story in Genesis 44 and verse 31. Genesis 44 and verse 31. It shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die, and thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. Judah was not willing to come home and tell the lie to dad again, that indeed the second son would not be coming home. And say that to dad and break his heart and watch him out of grief and misery die. Judah wasn't willing to do that. Joseph had taken them. Their sin had been revealed. As they were going to take Benjamin, Judah falls down before Joseph, not knowing it was his brother, but before Joseph, he fell down before him and said, "Please, take me. Take me instead. Don't keep Benjamin. I know you found the cup in his saddlebag. Please don't keep him. It'll kill our father." And he says, "Take my life." And Judah was willing there to give his own life. Joseph, on behalf of his brother Benjamin, in Genesis 44, 31 through 33, Judah said, "My father will die." That's Saturday's question. My father will die if Benjamin does not return. I can't let that happen. Take my life. Keep me as your servant. Let the lad go. This was not the same man who lied to his father about Joseph and broke his father's heart. God had changed him. Now he could not bear to think of Jacob's heart being broken the second time. Like Judah, we need to realize that our actions affect others. The way we live affects others. Others are hurt. Others can be hurt by our sin. Others can be hurt by our sin. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for your word. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would take your word and apply it to the needs of the hearts and the lives here today. In Jesus' name, amen.